this hour. The annual Hajj pilgrimage is nearing its end in the holy city of Mecca as Muslims around the world celebrate Eid al-Adha. Iran says it has enriched uranium to a purity of 20% at Fordo facility using a cascade of advanced IR-6 centrifuges in a process already reported to the IAEA. And calm returns to Sri Lanka's commercial capital Colombo following violent protests that forced the president and the prime minister to resign. Thank you for joining us. Hundreds of thousands of Muslim pilgrims are performing the final rituals of the Hajj pilgrimage in the holy city of Mecca in Saudi Arabia. One of these rituals is tawaf, or walking in the procession around the Kaaba 7 times. Kaaba is the direction Muslims always face while praying. Another ritual is the stoning of the devil, in which pilgrims throw pebbles at rocks symbolizing the Satan. The rituals culminate in Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of Sacrifice. On this day, animals are sacrificed to commemorate Prophet Abraham's decision to sacrifice his son in the name of God Almighty. Another essential part of the Hajj pilgrimage is the shaving of the head for men. Women only cut the tips of their hair. Eid al-Adha is celebrated in Muslim countries around the world. The date varies by one day in different countries depending on lunar sightings. Iranians are marking the occasion today. To hear more about the Hajj rituals and the atmosphere surrounding the last days of the pilgrimage, we're going to go over to Mecca and our correspondent Mehdi Abbasian, who is there to tell us all about it. Mehdi, over to you.
Hello, dear Omid. Right now, I'm in Jamarat, next to the Mina Desert. Today, thousands of Muslims, let's say hundreds of thousands of them, have converged in this place to perform one of the obligations of their Hajj pilgrimage, which is throwing stones at the walls, which were previously pillars of Jamarat here. It's very crowded in this place, and despite it being a hot day today, right now the weather is cloudy and there is a soothing breeze in the air. Today, the significance of today's ritual is that people try to reenact actions of Prophet Abraham. Their Prophet Abraham was ordered by God to sacrifice his son to show his acceptance of God's will, and here in this place, in this land. And he decided to do so, and on his way, the devil tried to tempt him and tried to trick him out of doing this, but he resisted. And in 3 different places, he just threw stones at the devil. And since then, Muslims every year during Hajj pilgrimage have built as I said, walls. They were pillars before in those locations, and throw stones at those walls to show that they are symbolically, to show that they are doing the same thing. They are resisting the temptations of the devil. And speaking with people here, what I understood, they all say that they agreed that what happens in Hajj is not just restricted to the external actions that we do. It's rather an internal journey. As I said, they say, okay, we are throwing pebbles at these jamarats, but the main goal is to stone the devil inside, to resist the temptations of devil inside you, and try to be a good person that acts based on religion with love to God. Back to you, Omid.
Thank you very much, Mehdi. You've been in Mecca for the past few days. reporting and giving us all the updates. Thank you very much for all your hard work. Moving on to other news, Iran says it has enriched uranium to a purity of 20% using a cascade of advanced centrifuges it launched 2 weeks ago. The spokesman for the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran says this was the final technical stage in the process. He said Iran had in advance informed the UN nuclear agency of its plan to inject uranium gas into cluster of IR-6 centrifuges at the Fordo facility. According to Behruz Kamalvandi, the Western media started hyping up the issue as soon as the International Atomic Energy Agency verified Iran's enrichment. On Saturday, Reuters cited an IAEA report which confirms Iran has increased enrichment using advanced machines. The news agency once again highlighted Western concerns about Iran's nuclear program, despite acknowledging that Iran had indeed informed the agency of its enrichment plan. Tehran says the Western tactics are only meant to pressure it at the ongoing talks for the removal of sanctions. Iran's president once again pledges continued support for the anti-Israel resistance front, particularly in Syria. Ebrahim Raisi says Iran is for peace and stability and against any foreign intervention in Syria. In a phone call with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, Raisi congratulated the Syrian government and the nation on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. The Iranian president hailed the recent visit to Tehran by President Assad and the good agreements that were reached between the two countries. Raisi called for efforts to follow through and implement the deals. Assad also noted that the enemies of the resistance front are growing weaker by the day. He said Iran and Syria are brothers in arms and wish the two nations increasing success at home and abroad. U.S. President Joe Biden defends his decision to visit Saudi Arabia and meet with Crown Prince MBS, despite criticisms that he's abandoning his stated concerns about the kingdom's human rights record. Biden has written in an opinion piece for the Washington Post that his upcoming visit aims to strengthen a strategic partnership with Riyadh. Biden says the U.S. will use Saudi Arabia's vital energy resources to mitigate the impact of the war in Ukraine on global supplies. That's amid surging fuel costs and inflation at home. But the visit goes against Biden's repeated pledges to make Saudi Arabia pay for the killing and dismemberment of dissident journalist and U.S. resident Jamal Khashoggi. Biden's administration has released intelligence findings showing Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman masterminded Khashoggi's murder. Earlier, we were joined by journalist and political analyst Elia Manier. He says the U.S. president is planning to visit Saudi Arabia for a specific purpose, which is to secure oil shipments from the kingdom.
Biden is only trying to get oil from the Saudis. This is the objective of his visit, although he's trying to make it look like he's creating more rapprochement between Israel and Saudi Arabia, which is something that has been going on for some time. So what is more interesting in what he said are points that are of the interest of the region. When he said he prefers that the region come together through democracy, diplomacy, and cooperation, rather than being a part through conflict, undermining the fact that only the U.S. brought conflict to the region by attacking, by supplying Saddam Hussein in his war against Iran, by occupying Afghanistan, occupying Iraq, still insisting in staying in Iraq, occupying part of Syria, trying to create a failed state in Syria. So all that Biden is really telling us what the U.S. is doing when the countries of the region can sort out themselves the problem. Mm-hmm. And he's coming only to make sure that Saudi Arabia could provide him with oil, which I doubt that he's going to get the 700,000 or 1 million barrel of oil per day to compensate a little bit the stupid sanction that the West imposed on Russia.
Protesters in Sri Lanka say they are not leaving the presidential palace in the capital Colombo until he actually steps down. People are still milling outside the residence a day after storming it in anger. President Gotabaya Rajapaksa and the Prime Minister have fled with the Navy. They say they will resign on Wednesday. Despite that, the chaos is far from over. The South Asian nation is facing chronic food and fuel shortages and a galloping inflation, factors that brought the once relatively rich economy to its knees. Details of a transition of power and the shape up of the next government are still not clear. We've spoken to Chief of Sri Lanka's National Peace Council, Jahan Pereira. As somebody who was personally taken part in street rallies in Colombo, he talks about what it is that the Sri Lankan people are actually demanding.
The mood is quite jubilant at this time, that as you would have seen footage of people going into the president's house and occupying it. They are taking a swim, they are touring it. Hopefully they will not vandalize it. I'm very hopeful that that will not happen. But they have been able to breach that. And what this means is that it shows that the government is unable to resist the peace people's protest. And I'm hopeful that, now there is no constitutional way to force the president out. There's a very long process of impeachment. But also the people want the parliament also. They want the government in its entirety to go. The president plus the government, which is dominated by the president's party, they want them to go. And I have a feeling that that is going to happen now. And what we are moving towards is an all-party government, a small all-party government. Maybe it excludes the present the ruling family and the ministers of this present government, but it's going to be a small all-party government for a temporary period to try and get over the hump.
In other news, Russia says its forces have struck two Ukrainian army hangars storing US-made artillery weapons. The Russian Defense Ministry says the cache of howitzers was targeted in the eastern region of Donetsk. The United States and its allies have been supplying weapons and military equipment to Ukraine since the beginning of the war with Russia. Moscow has repeatedly warned against such shipments, saying they prolong the conflict. Also in eastern Ukraine, which is the main theater of war, local emergency services said they have recovered 15 bodies after a Russian missile strike hit a residential area. Rescuers say five people were pulled out of the rubble and that they were in contact with three others under the debris. Moscow has previously dismissed allegations of targeting civilian areas. Our Ukraine correspondent Johnny Miller explains the current circumstances in the Donbas region.
The Russian army is trying to make advances in the north of the Donbas region at the moment. The Ukrainians are moving back to the cities of Slavyansk and Kramatorsk. They're hoping to make a kind of final stand, if you will, in the Donbas region. You know, Russia continues to shell Ukrainian positions with their overwhelming artillery power. Here in Donetsk city, the Ukrainian army continue to shell civilians here, reports of casualties throughout the city in the last couple of days. So that's very much the situation at the moment. There's not too much movement to the top, the north of Donbass at the moment, as Russia focuses on using its artillery to soften up Ukrainian positions. But it looks like it's inevitable that Russia will move forward at some point and try to assault these towns of Slavyansk and Kramatorsk.
Skepticism abounds in the EU around the idea that relations between the 27-nation bloc and Britain will improve once Prime Minister Boris Johnson leaves office. Brussels and London remain at loggerheads over post-Brexit trading arrangements relating to Northern Ireland. Jerome Hughes reports from the Belgian capital, Brussels.
Apparently, senior officials inside the European Commission are not celebrating the news that Boris Johnson is to leave No. 10 Downing Street. There is a belief that his successor will still want to break key elements of the Brexit agreement relating to Northern Ireland.
The political developments do not change our position on the protocol or the way in which we work with our British counterparts on Northern Ireland. Our position is that we should endeavour to seek solutions on the implementation of the protocol, and that's it.
The EU accuses the British government of breaking international law by moving to scrap the Northern Ireland Protocol, which is designed to preserve peace in Ireland by preventing physical border checks. Senior EU lawmaker Guy Verhofstadt has tweeted, "Boris Johnson's reign ends in disgrace, just like his friend Donald Trump. The end of an era of transatlantic populism? Let's hope so. EU-UK relations suffered hugely with Johnson's choice of Brexit. Things can only get better." Analysts we have been speaking to are less optimistic.
The new Prime Minister will carry on more or less the same policy as Boris Johnson, with one difference that maybe he would be a bit more honest with British citizen.
Members of the public in Brussels have been telling us what they think about Johnson's political demise.
I'm glad to see him gone. I don't think he was the cause of the problem between EU and UK, but he didn't help solve it.
I don't think the position on the Northern Ireland Protocol will change much, unless there's a snap election and then, say, like Labour take over or something. I don't think there'll be any change.
Former EU Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier has tweeted, "The departure of Boris Johnson opens a new page in relations with Britain. May it be more constructive, more respectful of commitments made, in particular regarding peace and stability in Northern Ireland, and more friendly with partners in the EU."
We asked the European Commission spokespeople if the EU's legal action against the British government over Northern Ireland might be paused now that Johnson is leaving the stage. They came back with a simple answer: no. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Well, that brings us to the end of this news broadcast. Thanks for tuning in.
وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين.
And we called out to him saying, "O Ibrahim, you have indeed shown the truth of the vision. Surely thus do we reward the doers of good." Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of Sacrifice, celebrates and honors the willingness of Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, to sacrifice his firstborn son Ishmael as an act of obedience to God's command. We here at IRIB English Radio congratulate all our Muslim listeners on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of Sacrifice.
Little about yourself.
Amerik Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
journalism. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, July 10th, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters or messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio's programs. Or if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. congratulations, everyone, on a very great feast. Congratulations to you on the auspicious feast of Qurban or Eid al-Adha that marks the culmination of the Hajj pilgrimage and commemorates Prophet Abraham's great sacrifice of his son Ishmael, who by the command of God Almighty was saved at the last moment. Thank you for being with us. This is Listeners Special, and here I do send my appreciations and warm greetings and gratitude to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports from around the world, including Roni Hossein from Bangladesh, Osman Ramos Reyes from Guatemala, and Bruce Lee from Australia. And as you may know, as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our engineers and technicians. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. And let me mention the names of those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world. And then later during the program, I will read these emails. Mohammad Khaku from the US has sent us an email. Mohammad Akram Sial from Pakistan has sent us an email. Here we have received an email from India from Dr. Hemant Kumar. Bashir Solangi from India has sent us an email, and Brian Penny from the US has also sent us an email. And before the program, I was reading these emails. Most of them focus on Eid al-Adha or the Feast of Sacrifice, and they're mostly congratulatory messages. Thank you for these messages, our great listeners. So, after a short break, I will be back with these great emails. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. So, Mohammad Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Let's see what Mohammad says. Dear staff, I hope this email finds you and your honored family in the best of health with the grace of Almighty Allah. Greetings and prayer for safety of Muslim Ummah, happiness, prosperity, and a good health with long life. May this special day of Eid open all doors of success, bring peace to the world. May this Eid bring you and your honored family abundant joy and happiness in your life. Salam and warmest greetings to you on this great day, Mohammad Khaku from the US. Please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this congratulatory message and this email to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. Thank you for this beautiful email, such nice message on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. We also wish you all the best. We wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings on this feast, the Feast of Sacrifice or Eid al-Adha. Thank you for writing this email to us. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Mohammad Khaku from the US, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you, Mohammad Khaku. And from Pakistan, we've received an email from Mohammad Akram Sial. Let's see what Mohammad Akram says. Dear staff at IRIB English Radio. I hope that you would be fine. And my club friends and I are absolutely fit and fine. I am a new listener of your service. I listen to your programs daily. I found all the programs very informative and interesting. I have a request, that is you post me a program guide and other literature. Waiting for your reply. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from IRIB English Radio from Tehran and Islamic Republic of Iran. To you, Muhammad Akram Sial, and your club friends. Thank you for writing this email to your radio station, your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. We also congratulate you on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, the Feast of Sacrifice. We wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings on this great occasion. And thank you for writing such an encouraging and inspiring message to your favorite radio, IRIB English Radio, as you found the programs very informative and interesting. It gives us, inspiration to continue the path of your treading. So my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation and as your request for sending you a program guide and other literature at a time of pandemic. Sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio, unfortunately, is not possible. So please accept just our electronic materials. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from one of our old and regular listeners, Dr. Heman Kumar from India. Stay tuned, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Dr. Hemant Kumar says, Eid al-Adha is the Eid of sacrifice and commitment to Allah orders. May Allah bless us with the same in all circles of life and help all amongst us who are helpless, worried, and waiting for his blessings. Amen. Happy Eid al-Adha. Salam and warm greetings to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, and please accept our warm gratitudes for sending us this congratulatory message. Happy Eid al-Adha to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Yes, as you said, Eid al-Adha is the Eid of sacrifice and commitment to Allah orders. And may Allah bless us with the same in all circles of life. Thank you. We wish you all the best. Wish you peace, prosperity, happiness, good tidings on this great occasion, on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. Soon, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card. Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you again. And again from the U.S., we've received an email from Brian Penny. Let's see what Brian Penny says. Dear Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's Broadcasting, I received your broadcast to Europe and North America in English this afternoon. Reception conditions were nominal, with minimal noise and fading. The modulation level of your broadcast was a bit low, but I was able to copy the majority of your transmission. If you find my reception report to be accurate, I would appreciate receiving a QSL from your station. An electronic QSL would be sufficient during this unprecedented pandemic. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, and IRIB English Radio. Brian Penny from the U.S., thank you very much for sending us this email. So thank you for letting us know about the troubles you had. As you said, the reception conditions were nominal with minimal noise and fading. Thank you for telling us the condition you had about receiving. Anyway, we are so happy that our signals are received in your region. Of course, please accept our electronic QSL card in the time of pandemic. We have no other choice except sending you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Please accept it from us. Thank you for writing to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon, Brian Penny from the U.S. And after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Bashir Solangi from India has sent us an email. Bashir says, I would like to send my congratulations to the Muslim world on Eid al-Adha occasion. I would like to pray for the world and ask Allah to help us from the widespread pandemic disease, which took already many innocent lives across the globe. Thanks as always, and God bless you all, and happy Eid al-Adha. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Bashir Solangi from India. Many thanks for sending us this email, such nice email. We also do send our congratulations to you and all our listeners, especially Muslim listeners, on Eid al-Adha or Feast of Sacrifice. We wish you all the best. We wish you happiness, joy, love, good tidings on this great occasion. And as we, just like you, would like to pray for all people around the world and ask God to help us in the time, in the bad times, in the time of pandemic, and save all people around the world, be it in Asia, Africa, America, all people around the world, in the Europe, save all people. As you said, this pandemic, this unprecedented and widespread pandemic disease has taken many lives around the world, and this is so sad. So on this great occasion, on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, we ask God to save people around the world. Anyway, Bashir Solangi from India, that was a good wish and that was a good prayer. Thank you for this great wish and this congratulatory message to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Bashir Solangi from India, write to us soon. Thank you again. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Well, dear listeners of Listeners Special, congratulations again on the auspicious Feast of Qurban, or Eid al-Adha, that marks the culmination of the Hajj pilgrimage and commemorates Prophet Abraham's great sacrifice of his son Ishmael, who, by the command of God Almighty, was saved at the last moment. So, here we have to wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. Have a good time. God bless you and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programmes. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The Limelight.
While Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman were key lawyers for former U.S. President Donald Trump and his campaign, respectively, and Jeffrey Clark was a senior Justice Department official, the trio played big roles in a brazen multi-front drive not to certify some of Joe Biden's electors, but bogus ones for Donald Trump. We have prepared for you an article written by Peter Stone. The piece is titled, Lawyers Feel Heat as Legal Net Tightens on Trump Plot to Overturn Election. Former prosecutors say an accelerating Justice Department investigation into a fake electoral scheme to help Donald Trump overturn the 2020 election, plus exclusive testimony from January 6 hearings, have created intense legal heat for the lawyers Jeffrey Clark, Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman, who were key players in the abortive effort. While Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman were key lawyers for Donald Trump and his campaign, respectively, and Jeffrey Clark was a senior Justice Department official, the trio played big roles in a brazen multi-front drive not to certify some of Biden electors, but bogus ones for Donald Trump. That could fuel charges against Trump, who they collaborated with for obstruction of an official proceeding of Congress or defrauding the United States. Legal experts say recent Justice Department actions, including seizing electronic devices of John Eastman and Jeffrey Clark, coupled with some evidence at committee hearings, are increasingly likely to spur charges against the three lawyers related to the drive to replace electors Biden won in seven states with fake electors for Donald Trump. The Justice Department's expanding criminal inquiry became palpable on 22nd of June when FBI agents raided Jeffrey Clark's home and separately seized John Eastman's cell phone as grand jury subpoenas involving the scheme were served up on top Republican figures and Trump allies in Georgia and Arizona. In another stark sign of the legal jeopardy Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman face, recent House committee hearings into the attack on the Capitol offered evidence that both lawyers sought pardons from Donald Trump, presumably tied to plotting strategies to block Biden's certification by Congress on 6th of January 2021, and fiery speeches they gave along with Trump at a rally on their lips before a mob of Trump allies and supporters attacked the Capitol. The legal threats facing Jeffrey Clark were underscored at a 23rd of June panel hearing by scathing testimony from former top justice officials about Donald Trump's plotting with Jeffrey Clark to elevate him to acting attorney general to push the fake electoral scheme by falsely claiming in a proposed letter to Georgia officials that the Department of Justice had significant concern about election fraud there and in other states. The former acting Deputy Attorney General, Richard Donahue, was scolding as he detailed Trump's efforts to replace the acting Attorney General, Jeffrey Rosen, with Jeffrey Clark in late December 2020, and to pressure state legislatures to reject Joe Biden electors by promoting baseless charges of widespread election fraud. Richard Donahue recounted how he warned Donald Trump at a bizarre 3rd of January White House meeting that was attended by Jeffrey Rosen, Donald Trump counsel Pat Cipollone, and other top lawyers that elevating Clark to be acting attorney general would spark mass resignations and Clark would be left leading a graveyard at the Justice Department. Pat Cipollone, who was recently subpoenaed by the House panel, also threatened to resign if Jeffrey Clark replaced Jeffrey Rosen. Further, according to shocking testimony on 28th of June by Cassidy Hutchinson, a top aide to the former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, Cipollone warned her early on 6th of January of potential criminal liability for Trump and others if Donald Trump went to the Capitol as he had discussed doing, and asked Hutchinson to please make sure we don't go up to the Capitol. All of it adds to potentially grave consequences for the three lawyers. Michael Zeldin, a former Department of Justice prosecutor, said the strong evidence presented about the fake electoral scheme at a recent House committee hearing, including testimony by senior Justice Department officials, laid the foundation for charging Trump's legal advisors, John Eastman and Rudy Giuliani, and possibly Jeffrey Clark, with multiple state and federal crimes, including obstruction of an official congressional proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the United States, false statements in connection with the fake electoral scheme, and election fraud. Michael Zeldin added, "The cumulative evidence presented over the course of the hearings paint a picture of a president who was told explicitly by multiple people that he'd lost the election, and that once he exhausted his judicial remedies, losing nearly 60 cases, his continuing pressure campaign to prevent the orderly transfer of power was illegal. Yet Trump and his attorneys persisted. Other former prosecutors stressed that the FBI raids to obtain Jeffrey Clark and John Eastman's phones indicate the investigations of the two lawyers have escalated. Barbara McQuaid, a former U.S. attorney for Eastern Michigan, told The Guardian, "Search warrants of Jeffrey Clark and John Eastman's phones means that a judge found probable cause to believe that evidence of a crime would be found on each of those devices." John Eastman's exposure to criminal charges has been palpable and growing for months. In March, a federal judge, David Carter, in a crucial court ruling involving Donald Trump's legal advisor, John Eastman, stated that Trump, more likely than not, broke the law in his weeks-long drive to stop Joe Biden from taking office. In a civil case which resulted in an order for John Eastman to release more than 100 emails he had withheld from the House panel, Judge David Carter wrote, "Dr. Eastman and President Trump launched a campaign to overturn a Democratic election, an action unprecedented in American history." Other revelations damaging to Donald Trump and John Eastman emerged at a mid-June House panel hearing with Greg Jacob, the former counsel to former Vice President Mike Pence, providing detailed testimony about how Eastman and Trump launched a high-pressure effort to persuade Mike Pence to unlawfully block Joe Biden's certification by Congress on 6th of January 2021. The John Eastman pressure included the scheme to substitute pro-Trump fake electors from states that Biden won for electors rightfully pledged to Biden. Greg Jacob testified that Eastman acknowledged to him that he knew his push to get Mike Pence on 6th of January to reject Biden's winning Electoral College count would violate the Electoral Count Act, and that Donald Trump, too, was informed it would be illegal for Mike Pence to block Joe Biden's certification. In mid-December of 2020, at least 59 Republicans from states that Trump had lost falsely asserted and signed legal documents that they were duly chosen electors for Trump in the Electoral College. Barbara McQuaid, a former U.S. attorney for Eastern Michigan, said former prosecutors say potential charges against Trump and his top lawyers have increased in part due to the powerful details that former Department of Justice leaders testified about on 23rd of June, involving how Trump pushed to weaponize the Justice Department to facilitate the fake electoral scheme. Barbara McQuaid noted that the Deputy Attorney General, Lisa Monaco, months ago confirmed Department of Justice had received evidence from state attorney generals about alternate slates of electors and was investigating. It appears that Department of Justice is now issuing subpoenas regarding this episode. One could imagine each link leading to the next and possibly all the way to Donald Trump. On top of Trump's involvement in the fake electors ploy, former Deputy Attorney General Donald Eyre, who served in the George H.W. Bush administration, told The Guardian that overall, the evidence is increasingly showing Trump's culpability. Donald Trump had extensive involvement in long conversations where he was personally working intently to overturn the election. Donald Eyre's point was bolstered by Cassidy Hutchinson's eye-popping testimony about Trump's knowledge of and indifference to the large cache of dangerous weapons that were being carried by his supporters to the Capitol. Paul Pelletier, a former acting chief of Department of Justice Fraud Section, said that for prosecutors, the powerful testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson might be the final nail in the legal jeopardy coffin of Trump's coterie of lawyers and enablers. He added, Hutchinson's testimony has lifted the curtain on the false narrative that the violent Capitol confrontation was spontaneous. The Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse sees a need for coordination of criminal investigations between the Department of Justice and others into the multiple efforts by Trump and key allies to block Joe Biden's win in Georgia, including Trump's call to Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, which is under scrutiny by the Fulton County District Attorney and a special grand jury. Sheldon Whitehouse told The Guardian, "Phony electors, the Jeffrey Clark memo and Trump's phone calls all converge on Georgia." He added, "I hope and expect that the investigations are coordinated. The raid on Jeffrey Clark shows how serious this is, and false electors could make great witnesses."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our esteemed listeners congratulations and extend our congratulations to our listeners on this most auspicious, important, and happy day of Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Qurban. As you know, this is one of the two most important festivals and happy days of the Muslims, the other being the Eid al-Fitr, the last, which comes at the end of Ramadan. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam, regarding Eids in general, and therefore obviously Eid al-Qurban and Eid al-Adha in particular. Imam Ali alayhi salam said the following regarding one of the festivals, meaning he said the following on the day of one of these festivals, and it was Eid, one of these festivals, and the Imam said the following on this day. Perhaps somebody came to the Imam and said Eid Mubarak to him. Happy Eid to you. Congratulations to you, Imam. So the Imam turned around and said the following to him. He said, verily, it is only a festival for he whose fasts Allah has accepted and whose prayers he has acknowledged. Meaning a person can only celebrate this day, in essence, the Imam is saying, whose acts of worship in the days leading up to the festival, right, were accepted by God. If it's Eid al-Fitr, if his fast were accepted, if it's Eid al-Adha, if his sacrifice was accepted, if his, you know, his prayers were accepted, if his if he was on a pilgrimage, if his pilgrimage was accepted. Otherwise, it's only a meaningless and hollow festival, a shell of what it truly should be. After mentioning this kind of general rule, the Imam said something very, very general and very educational and very instructive to us. He said, and everybody's heard this hadith, he said, and every day in which we do not disobey God is a day of celebration. Right. So there's two parts to this tradition. Right. The second part is concerned is a negative, in a certain sense, is negative in the sense that the Imam says, if we do not, in order to truly be happy and celebrative on these festivals, one should not have sinned on the days leading up to the festival. The first part is kind of positive, in the sense that he says that the actions that we do, right? The second part is concerned with the things we should not do. The first part is concerned with the things that we should do, right? The acts that we do on the days leading up to the festival, they should be wholesome spiritually, and they should have been accepted by God. Right, so if these two conditions are fulfilled, then the person, right, his Eid is truly a true festival and a happy day for him. Otherwise, it's only something very superficial, right, and not worthy of truly being happy about. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the Eid and the festival in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Love him or hate him, Boris